Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 117. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. My co-host David Todd had a graduation, I think a high school graduation to go to. He got last word on that. So he's unable to participate in the show today. He should be back with me on Tuesday. But, you know, we've got a little bit to talk about here. I want to let everybody know, first of all, that on the part two of this episode that I have, I talked to Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review today. Many of you that have listened to the show for quite a while know Scott's been a longtime friend of the show, and he's going to answer some questions I have concerning, you know, certain players and things that he observed this past week as the Steelers wrapped up their mandatory mini camp of the 2012 offseason. And it's their last session, of course, before training camp gets underway late in July. So stay tuned for the second half of the show with Scott Brown. And as always, we're grateful that Scott takes time out of his busy day to join us. So to move forward from that, some news. I want to start off with some news. First of all, it might not be interesting to most of you, or to a few of you, I should say. Many of you, if you're like me and you like the X's and O's of football, you like going back and rewatching the games, you know, again after they're finished and kind of breaking down the film. I got an email today that got me pretty excited. If you know my work on SteelersDepot.com, how we love to participation reports, offensive line reports, we do everything as far as breakdowns, play-by-play, and game charting as far as that's concerned. Well, NFL.com announced today through an email that the Game Rewind package, their plus package in 2012, will include the all-22 view of every single play. So, you know, in the past, last year, they kind of teased us with the all-22 view on certain plays, mostly big plays. And, you know, while it was nice to have, it was, kind of like being teased. But now this is kind of the holy grail as far as I'm concerned, as far as what they're offering with their Game Rewind package. Now, of course, you're not able to watch if you live in the U.S., you're not able to watch the games live by subscribing to this. All of them are archived after the fact. But nonetheless, it's a terrific product. And for $59.99, it includes all of the regular season as well as the playoffs as well. So, and your subscription is good through end of July of 2013. So, as I said, $59.99 if you can afford it. If you like those types of things, I firmly suggest that you think about purchasing this, especially before when and if they decide to raise the price. This makes my job easier for the upcoming season. My contributors, Nick Ricchetta and Alan Gifford, who do fantastic work for me as well, will benefit from this, and I know they're excited about it. And already got all three of us signed up for that for the 2012 season. So just wanted to pass that news along to you first, if you're not aware of it. The second thing today is June 15th. It's the day that the Steelers had the right, if they chose to do so, to lower the tender. The first round tender of $2.74 million to wide receiver Mike Wallace down to $577,000. And look, there was never a question. I mean, no one ever gave an inkling that this was going to happen. It's just a specific date that's being thrown around because it's a date that the Steelers had at their disposal, should they decide that was the course they were going to take. It was never going to happen. It's not going to happen. Kevin Colbert was on 105.9 The X yesterday talking about that it's not going to happen, that You know, they're continuing on their good faith and negotiation with Mike Wallace the way we've been saying all along it was going to play out. So the interesting comment Colbert did make in that interview, though, is that, you know, he sees the side of Mike Wallace not reporting to OTAs and minicamp, but it says that there's no leverage to be gained by him doing so. Of course, the Steelers really would have liked to have him, in these camps and in these OTA sessions, to, especially with the new offense being installed and all like that, to work. But Colbert did disclaimer on top of it that Wallace was under no obligation to do so because he's not under contract. So moving forward from this, they're continuing negotiations with Mike Wallace. Both sides, want a long-term deal. That has never changed. There's never been a question about that. They're probably, good ways apart as far as, what each side is offering. But on the flip side, it's only speculation. And although there were reports early on in free agency that Mike Wallace wanted Larry Fitzgerald-type money, I respect Matt Barrels. I've had him on the show before. He's a great beat reporter for the San Francisco 49ers. But outside of that, there's nothing to back that up. Mike wants paper, so to speak, according to Ike Taylor. But to say that we know exactly what Mike Wallace wants, and to say exactly what the Steelers are offering, regardless of any Roto World reports that you're reading today that state that that he apparently wants X amount of dollars, all that speculation, the whole thing has been speculation, the whole offseason. So it's going to continue to be that until a long-term deal is reached or until Mike Wallace signs that one-year tender. Could he possibly hold out at the beginning of training camp? Absolutely. There's still the possibility that could happen. So we're going to just have to monitor that when the team reports to Latrobe and see where we go from here. But really, nothing's really changed. And if you had June 15th circled on your calendar, it's just another Friday in June as far as I'm concerned, as far as you should be concerned as well. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. Kevin Colbert, though, did talk about Max Starks yesterday in his interview as well, too. And it's not this huge secret that's floating around that a lot of us are hoping that Max Starks gets recovered by the time training camps get started to possibly get signed back to the roster. Ben Roethlisberger, is probably in huge favor of this happening. It makes too much sense not to happen. Really, this is the first time that Kevin Colbert's really commented that there has been talks between the two, that Max Starks knows where the Steelers stand, and that's first and foremost that Max has got to be recovered from his offseason ACL surgery before any of this goes down. So it's not really anything new to report other than Kevin Colbert finally acknowledging that it is a possibility, and that's good. That's good to hear. Now, when this would take place all depends on Max's health. He tweeted yesterday, updated on his Twitter status to say that he's back working in cleats, I think he said, on his lateral movement, and that he's close to being 100%. We heard Ben Roethlisberger say last week in OTA sessions, or the week before in OTA sessions, that it's under his understanding that Max is pretty close to being back healthy as well, too. So this is good news, because to be honest with you, Mike Adams, yes, he finally got to take part in a mini camp this week. He had 2 days, basically, because let's face it, a third day was hat day. They worked on some special team stuff. There's no real clarity, as far as what both the tackle positions are going to look like right now as we head towards training camp, because Marcus Gilbert, Sean Kugler, the offensive line coach, said that Gilbert's going to get some reps and has gotten some reps there at left tackle, just so in case that he's not surprised should the situation unfold that he has to play left tackle. The big question is when they put the pads on and when they line up in Latrobe and how Mike Adams looks, from that standpoint. They're going to give this kid every opportunity to win that left tackle position. It's up to him whether or not he wants it or not. So, whether or not Max is signed to the roster before training camp starts, is yet to be seen. It's probably dependent on his health. And let's face it, you know, Trey Essex and Jonathan Scott got work at left tackle over the course of the OTAs. Those guys cannot be considered legitimate options at left tackle. So I talked to Scott Brown a little bit about this in our interview, so I don't want to spoil a lot of talk there, though. Here's one thing I'd say: don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when they show up at Latrobe if Marcus Gilbert or Trey Essex gets the first team reps initially when they line up at left tackle, because it's just going to be a way of the coaching staff to send a signal to Mike Adams. And the same really goes for David DeCastro as well. He might not get the first team reps right off the bat the first time they line up in training camp. That's simply going to be a way to send a message to these rookies that they've earned absolutely nothing at this point. But on the flip side, don't read too much into the first day or two of training camp of who lines up where. These guys are going to have to earn the positions, and for them to line up week one or the first few practices at training camp at the starting spots with the first team with the first reps, would be a little bit surprising, really. So when we get into week one of the preseason, that's when things are really going to shake out, because, you know, and I'll be charting this as well, who's going to get reps where. And, so really we got no clarity on our tackle positions. Football in shorts until they put their pads on, start hitting, until this offense starts taking hold, you know, we're really not going to know. It's just speculation. And that's what I do best. You know, that's what I love about off season. That's why I love blogging in the off season, because there's so much to speculate about. Outside of that news, the biggest news, I guess we could say, coming out of OTAs and mini camp is no serious injuries. And we had a good full level of participation outside of Mike Wallace, who understandably was not there at minicamp or OTAs. Full participation, and outside some of the nicks and cuts and bruises, James Harrison had some fluid on his knee. We'll have to watch that heading towards training camp. Jason Worlds, of course, was held out recovering from that wrist surgery as well. It wouldn't be too terribly surprising to see Jason Worlds start training camp on the PUP list. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just going to say don't be surprised or alarmed if it does happen. Judging by some of the comments that Keith Butler made during the final week OTA sessions, he kind of left himself a window open there, tiny, that Worlds might not be ready by the time training camp starts. A few other than nicks and bruises, Manuel Sanders, Curtis Brown, Stevenson Sylvester, a few other guys, you know, missed time. None of those injuries, I asked Scott Brown about that as well, none of those injuries are considered serious. Probably some days off, rest here and there, a little bit of soreness as to be expected. So I wouldn't read into anything like that. You hear about some of these other injuries around the NFL during OTA sessions and mini camps and all like that. And, to hear nothing come out basically as far as injuries go with the Steelers out of all these offseason workouts is a plus. So, if there's anything positive that you want to build a fort around, it's that and that alone. Football in shorts is nice. It's good to hear some of these reports on some of these kids like Chris Rainey, Sean Spence, everything else. But health is, you can't make the club in the tub, as they say. And, it's just some minor things. Casey Hampton and Rashard Mendenhall, of course, they're going to start the training camp on the active PUP list. Casey said this past week that he's aiming towards a week one return to the lineup. He's another guy that, 50-50. I asked Scott Brown about that as well, too, and we'll just have to see. Judging by the video that Mark Cabali posted on YouTube this week, quite a bit of hitch in that step with Casey Hampton there. But it's still early as well, too. We're more than a month away from training camp and another 4 weeks or so after that until the start of the regular season, or a little bit longer than that. So he's still got a lot of time to get where he needs to go by week one. So David DeCastro, still not under contract. That's likely held up because of the fourth-year guarantee. How much of the fourth year of that is going to be guaranteed? The Patriots drew the line in the sand, so to speak, with their first-round defensive end there, not giving him a full fourth-year guaranteed. I believe half of his 2000 and what is it, 15, 15 salary, I think, is guaranteed. And the squabbling with DeCastro is likely how much of that fourth year, if any, is guaranteed. And also, as Andrew Brandt brought up on Twitter this week, how much of the offsets, a little bit of haggling with the offsets there, meaning that if they were to have to release a player that had guarantees, how much of that money of guaranteed is offset if another team signs that player? So, just minor squabbling stuff. Be honest with you, I fully expected DeCastro to be under contract by now, but just because he's not is no reason to panic. I would be really, really surprised if he's not under contract by the time the team reports to Latrobe. So I think we've covered a lot of it there as far as what's happened. Throughout the offseason with these OTAs and mini camps. And like I said, I talked to Scott Brown a little bit of what he's observed, threw some things at him in the second part of this podcast. So I firmly suggest that you stay tuned for that. So without further ado, and I'm not going to tag on to the back end of my interview with Scott. So let me just say, if you want to follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot, follow David on Twitter at Hammer Speaks. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Moving forward from here with the mini camps done now, we're probably going to start having some of these beat writers on from the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, see what's going on heading into their training camps. Yes, I'm trying to set something up with Dave Tay Thomas. Try to get him back on to recap the Steelers draft and kind of moving forward where they are from that standpoint. There's going to be, if you follow Steelers Depot, the site, full slate of content from now until training camp. Nothing's going to change moving forward from there. I want to take a moment here to thank Jeremy Ritz, Chris DiMarino, Kian Fahey, Christina Rivers, for all their contributions to the site throughout the offseason as well. You might not agree with everything that they write, but it gives a good method of something to discuss. I also like to thank Alan Gifford and Nick Rocchetta as well. These guys do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, work as far as film breakdown and all like that, and they'll be getting back hard and heavy into their stuff, especially once the preseason gets started for the Steelers. So I don't think I missed anything there that needed to be noted. I guess I could say that the Steelers did have the roster moves this week with signing Brandon Johnson. The linebacker, formerly of the Bengals, who to me seems more, based on his play with the Bengals, he probably can fit inside and outside in the Steelers 3-4. He didn't, although he played kind of some outside in the Bengals stacked kind of 4-3 type situations that time. You didn't see him rush the passer very much in the tape that I looked at on him. To me, he projects more of an inside guy with the Steelers. Moving forward, not to say that he can't be considered an outside linebacker in the Steelers system, because he certainly did drop quite a bit in coverage with the Bengals. So we'll have to see where he lines up in mini camp to make room for him and long snapper Matt Katula, who I think we discussed in the last podcast. Connor Dixon, the young undrafted free agent out of Duquesne, was placed on that waived injured list and all. It would not be surprising to hear him revert back to the injured reserve initially if he's not claimed on waivers, which I would not expect him to be. Also released was Wes Lyons, the West Virginia kid who spent last offseason training camp with the Steelers. Moved, of course, to tight end this year. And look, if you thought this kid had any shot of making a 53-man roster, it just was not going to happen there. So you can close the book on Wes Lyons. It just is not going to happen with him. So those were your roster moves. We'll kind of watch and listen to signing a Cthulhu long snapper. Just can't body to compete against Greg Warren. He had competition last year in camp as well too. A lot of people, if you ask them off the street who is the Steelers' long snapper, they couldn't name Greg Warren by name, and that's a good thing when a lot of people don't know who the long snapper is, because he's not he's not been in the news for anything. So that about covers it. We invite all feedback on SteelersDepot.com. David Todd should be back with me on Tuesday, and without further ado, my interview, and excuse the audio. I think Scott had a bad cell phone connection. You might hear a little bit of feedback in my questions to him, but you should be able to hear his answers fine. And here's my interview with Scott Brown, Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. I'm pleased to be joined with an old friend of the podcast, been on several times with me talking Steelers, and of course with the Steelers just wrapping up their mandatory mini camp yesterday. Pleased to be joined back on the show by Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Scott, thanks for taking time and thanks for coming back on the show.
Dave, got a question for you.
Yeah.
For the end of mini camp, did you wear a hat yesterday?
You know, who was it? Michael Grohl asked me the same thing on Trib Live Radio. And you know, I did wear a hat, but I have my Harley-Davidson hat on.
Okay.
So I guess I did wear a hat, but it probably wasn't an appropriate one for hat day.
Well, I think you get an A for originality there. I don't think there were any of those. I mean, there were a lot of different hats, but I don't think there were any Harley-Davidsons.
Yeah, that's true. They had all shapes and sizes. I tell you, one thing that we did miss was Hines Ward running around in that yellow old-timey Steelers helmet that he had. So that's a reality. And of course, Hines was the one pretty much to kind of get hat day started back in 2007 when Tomlin took over. So I guess the reality, if you hadn't had it by now, it certainly is set in as far as Hines Ward no longer being with the Steelers.
Yeah, it was a little weird, actually, being in a locker room for the first time since some of those guys have left and looking at, you know, where James Harrison and Aaron Smith used to draft are no longer there, and seeing Antonio Brown and Hines Ward's corner. We call it the penthouse. He had about three lockers. And then, you know, not seeing or hearing Chris Oak on the other end of the locker room. So it's definitely a little different, no doubt about it.
And, you know, a lot of new faces running around, and that's where I want to start is with rookies David DeCastro and Mike Adams, who finally got to take part in mini camp. They missed all the OTAs, of course, to the school requirements and all like that. They hadn't been able to work in, since the rookie mini camp. And I know you've talked to both those guys quite a bit and interviewed them. What would you say is the maturity difference when talking to both of those two guys?
Dave, I'm not sure I'd have a great gauge on that, just because David DeCastro, first of all, he's such a quiet guy, and he's all business. And it's funny because at one point, you know, Mike Tomlin, he'll make rounds in the locker room after some of the practices, and I swear, somewhat close by, and he was making a joke with the catcher and said, "Hey, Mr. Personality," you know, just kind of taking a dig. He's such a serious guy, but he seems to be a real mature guy. And obviously, you know, I don't know if they come any more NFL ready than a guy like the Castro. You look at what he did at Stanford, not just on the field, also graduate. That's a, you know, pretty impressive accomplishment as well. And just everything you heard before and now even after the draft, that, you know, he's a guy that can plug in. And I didn't see or hear anything that would lead me to believe otherwise. Mike Adams, I think there's still some questions with him, and I think he would readily admit that, as with the Steelers. But I think it's very telling that they've given every indication that they're going to give him a chance to win this job. And so that tells you that, A, the light has gone on with him after, you know, what happened at the Combine and some other stuff at Ohio State that raised character issues, and also his physical maturity. I mean, this guy, I'll tell you what, they just seen him up close. He looks like an NFL left tackle with his body and, you know, the long arms, the build, and it seems like he's pretty athletic for a guy his size. So I think that's pretty positive that the Steelers think enough of him that you know, that he might be ready to handle playing a extremely important position as a rookie, to at least give him a long look once training camp starts. So you know, it's early, and as you said, they weren't able to practice because of that inane role with the school quarters, but it looks like going into St. Vincent, you know, they're going to be given a legitimate shot to win a job. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if you see two rookie starters on the offensive line this season.
You know, coming out, of course, both of those rookies only got, in essence, 2 days of minicamp because of the third day with hat day and basically just a light special teams workout and all like that. You know, coming out of camp, you have to say that, there's still questions abounding about both tackle positions because, let's face it, if Mike Adams does, and I'm with you, I think they're going to give him every opportunity they can to win that left tackle job, but they're also working Marcus Gilbert at left tackle throughout the mini camps and OTA sessions. Now, I'm not so – I think the guards and, of course, centers pretty much taken care of, but would you agree that, just the question at, both tackles right now just is, firmly up in the air right now?
I would, Dave, and as you pointed out, there's while they are giving Adams every opportunity to win that job, there's also safety – nets, and I say nets because I don't think Max Starks is completely out of the picture. And in fact, Kevin Colbert on a radio interview said that you know, there's been talks with Max, nothing serious, but that he's a guy that's on their radar. Assuming he's healthy, you know, by late July, early August, and you know, all indications are that he's on that track. That he's a guy that, could be in the plans, and also, as you mentioned, Marcus Gilbert worked at left tackle and right tackle. The one thing Sean Kugler said, I believe it was last week or somewhat recently, is that, you know, with Gilbert, they want to make a decision as far as where they play him because they don't want him playing right tackle for 2 weeks of camp and then having to flip him over to left tackle. So I would think wherever you see him starting out, in training camp is where he's going to be, and my guess is left tackle because, like I said, right tackle because, like I said, you can always fall back to Max Starks. You know, if Adams really falters, and I guess even Trey Essex would be an option there, although I'm not sure he would be more in a stopgap there. But for me, with Gilbert, I think if you see him at right tackle, you know, it's a pretty good bet he's going to be there. And that if Adams isn't the guy at left tackle, at least for now, they'd look elsewhere. And my guess would be the first place they would look would be Max Starks.
Yeah, I agree. And I listened to that interview as well of Colbert talking about Starks. And although we've all known that Starks is probably going to be an option for them, to finally hear Colbert, the words come out of their mouth that he is an option is kind of reassuring. I think they're going to go into camp and basically let Adams win it or lose it. And if they don't, hopefully Starks is ready to just come in maybe 2 weeks into training camp or whatnot, maybe even earlier if he's ready, and be a fallback option there. But another young guy, seventh-round pick, Kelvin Beachum. This guy, you know, played left tackle at SMU, but he's been moved to inside the guard, which is not surprising. But you'll remember probably better than anybody when Trey Essex was originally drafted, and also Willie Colon as well. Does Beachum kind of remind you of either two of those guys?
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, he could have trouble making his team and could be more of a practice squad candidate. The only reason I say that is, and it's actually a good thing for the Steelers, they have they're pretty stocked as far as the offensive line, and not just up, you know, the first five, but I think it's going to be a really fun to watch see how the depth behind those guys shakes out. Because you have, you know, Foster, Legersky, Donovan Scott, you know, they could decide to save some money with him and rip and cut ties with him. So, you know, he could have trouble making the team, but, you know, I do think the Steelers like what they see in Kelvin Beachum, and if he's not part of that 53 coming out of practice, he'll definitely be on the practice squad. But, yeah, I mean, I think he looks like a guy that has potential, and definitely they made the right call, in my opinion, moving the guard. He's just not big enough to play tackle at this level. So, yeah, he's another guy. You know, when you're talking about the offensive line, it'll be fun to watch where he fits into the picture.
Yeah, and I was talking about the I was talking about the relation to him basically too, because he's got that, he's got those long arm, I mean those long legs and some long arms, but he just doesn't have that prototypical tackle size, sort of like a Willie Colon, and that's where I kind of see the relation with him with those two guys. But I also agree that he's going to have an uphill battle trying to make the 53-man roster, but that's definitely something to watch. Now, behind Cameron Hayward, Brett Kiesel, Ziggy Hood, anybody sticking out? As, you know, they're probably going to have to probably keep, you know, four defensive linemen there. Is anybody kind of sticking their head out like a Corbin Bryant who might make the 53 as another defensive end?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell with in the OTAs and the mini camps just because, you know, they're not practicing pads.
Right.
But I think, as you pointed out, someone's going to have to emerge behind, you know, the Kiesels and the Hood and Cameron Hayward, and I think Corbin Bryant's definitely a guy, and it looks like he and I would say, are the two that will battle for that. And, you know, maybe one of the younger guys they have could sneak in there as well. I think that battle's really going to start once they get to Latrobe. Because, yeah, like I said, I mean, just watching during these off-season practices, no one really, really jumped out at me. You know, the one guy that did is McClendon. Obviously, he's inside there, and just because of how much weight he's put on, it looks like good weight. I mean, he looks like, you know, a lot of muscle, and looks like he's a legitimate 325 pounds, which is, well, it's really, cause, you know, in the media guide, he's listed at 280, I believe.
Right.
And he's definitely looks like he's at least 40 pounds past that, and looks like he's really big enough to handle the rigors of playing every down at nose tackle if the Steelers need him to.
You know, Mark Cabali posted video of Casey Hampton, just a short clip, but, you know, Casey says his rehab's going good. He's looking at week one of the season. You know, he wasn't shy about saying he wasn't mad about missing training camp, because he'll obviously start on PUP at training camp there. But, you know, based on what you've seen and the way he's moving around, of course, he's still got, a month before training camp and another several weeks after that. You think he makes it by the start of the season, or is it going to be a close call with him starting the season on PUP?
I think it'll be a close call, and I know he said that he has every intention of being out there for the first game. But I do think it'll be a close call with Casey. And I will say this, even though he's been hurt, it looks like he's been keeping himself somewhat busy as far as staying in shape. It doesn't look like he's put on any extra weight. It looks like the same old Casey to me, other than the fact that he spent, the off-season practices watching from the sidelines, and as you pointed out, I'm sure he was not entirely too upset with that. But I think that's going to be real close. To me, if I had to pick between the two, I'd say Rashard Mendenhall is the more logical candidate to start on the pop list. And not that he's behind Casey. In fact, he seemed to be doing a lot, or as much as he could, as far as running, straight line stuff, things of that nature. But I'm just not sold that he's going to be able to cut well enough on that knee to be ready for the season opener. So if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd say Casey's more likely to play in that opener than Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah, I would agree. And I fully expect Mendenhall to start on PUP, and I think it'll be close on Hampton as well. A few other guys that really missed some time over the last few weeks, Stevenson, Sylvester. I think Curtis Brown was seen with a wrap or something on his leg. Do you know anything more about Stevenson, Sylvester, or Curtis Brown and the nature of their injuries?
I don't. We got Tomlin on, what day was that, Tuesday? No, Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday. He sort of glossed over the injury, and then that was really our fault, not really following up on some of these guys and a guy like James Harrison. So I'm not real sure what that is. The only thing, all indications are that it's minor. The Steelers were erring on the side of the caution because of when it is in the year. You know, we're still in the off season, so I don't think any of them are serious. But again, I really can't elaborate on what's wrong with them. I don't know if Curtis Brown, if that's something that's lingering from the injury he had at the end of the season in 2011. But all indications are, Dave, that it's nothing serious. So I would think those guys will all be ready to roll once camp starts.
Including Emmanuel Sanders. I would guess they just gave that knee a little bit of rest for him.
Yeah, and I did have a chance to talk to him, and he said that he feels at full strength, so this is the best he's felt in a year. Was never really 100% last year coming off those two foot surgeries, not having access to the kind of treatment he normally does in the offseason because of the NFL lockout. So he's excited around the go. But he also admits that this is a big year for him, said, his thing is he wants to play the entire season. So that's something he hasn't been able to do his first 2 years. So that's something that's real important to him, and it goes hand-in-hand with his goal of putting up the numbers he wants to, and he dropped the 1,000-yard mark again as a benchmark that he's shooting for this year, wants to reach that, and a lot of it is tied to his staying healthy. But so far, so good on that front. He seemed really excited, optimistic as to where he is from a physical standpoint.
We were talking about Stevenson Sylvester there, too. How big a deal? I mean, this is a guy that really needs to see the field. I think Keith Butler said after Sean Spence was drafted that Sylvester, really needs to show him something this year. Is this a guy that's kind of not guaranteed a spot on the 53-man roster right now? Is he kind of on the bubble, especially with Brandon Johnson being signed this past week?
I don't know if he's on the bubble because I think his special teams work alone gets him a spot on that roster, and his experience, his knowledge of the defense, and the fact that they're thin inside. But a lot can happen during training camp. So if he goes to Latrobe thinking he has a spot on the 53-man roster nailed down, I think he'd be mistaken. But again, I don't know if I'm ready to put him on that bubble just yet, but I do agree with you, Dave. This is the year where I think they're looking for him to make a jump. And, if he doesn't do it this year, he's probably a guy, at least with the Steelers, that's going to be seen as pretty much a special teams player and a guy you plug in as a backup if you need to, but not necessarily a guy that you're going to depend on, as far as your base defense and even sub packages. So, he needs to make that jump this year, and I know the Steelers are really going to be watching him in St. Vincent, and sort of, I'm sure they've made it clear to him that now's the time if he wants to make his move. Or again, he's probably going to be a guy that's at least in Pittsburgh is a special teamer and not much more else.
Brandon Johnson, I know he was only there for 2 days, and you probably probably didn't get a chance to talk to him or watch him on the field, but any idea if they see him more as an inside guy or an outside guy with the Bengals playing sort of that 4-3 and sort of that stack system over there? I kind of view him more as an inside prospect on the Steelers 3-4. Do you have any inkling of which way they see him?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, David. He'd be more seen as an inside guy. They love guys that can play multiple positions and have that position flexibility. So I don't think it hurts him at all that he has the capability of playing outside. But yeah, I tend to agree that he's a guy that they're looking at more as an inside linebacker.
I think I read too where Lawrence Timmons was making some calls on defense during mini camps and all. Can you elaborate any on that?
Yeah. That's another interesting development there with Timmons. Possibly prepare him. Maybe not for this season, but down the road, to slide into that role that James Harrison filled for so many years and played so well. So I guess it's maybe a little too early to tell because we know that a lot of experimentation goes on during these off-season practices. But certainly it appears that they're at least considering throwing him for that role. And, again, that's probably down the road, but just the fact that they're having called the defenses leads you to believe that they have an eye on him possibly filling that role a little bit down the line.
Wrapping up here with Scott Brown, beat writer, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You can follow Scott on Twitter at @ScottBrown_Trib. Finishing up here with you, Scott. I guess the last little question I have is, outside of the obvious of Sean Spence, Chris Rainey, some of the guys that stuck out, football in shorts, so to speak, anybody else really catch your eye?
Rainey was definitely a guy just because of the sheer speed that jumped out at you. Baron Batch, another guy, and Todd Haley even mentioned him, when I asked about the running backs, and sort of grouped him with Rainey as guys that, they had that speed versatility where you can maybe create some matchup problems. So, but he looked pretty good, coming back from that torn ACL he suffered in camp last year. So, and I guess I pretty much consider him a rookie. Last year was a loss for him because of the injury. But those two jumped out. And, the two first-round guys, had a chance to talk to Marcus Pouncey about them at the end of minicamp. And, he was real complimentary. Was even a little surprised, he said, how well they did when they were thrown in there with the starters, that they didn't make that many mistakes. I think they both help immediately. So, those are the guys that really jumped out to me as far as the rookies or first-year guys.
Well, good stuff as always, Scott. And you gave me the news this morning that I did not know, that you're actually coming off the Steelers beat and going on to the Penn State beat and going to be writing about some golf as well, too. So I want to wish you the best of that. I'm going to miss you on the Steelers beat there for sure. And, I want to thank you for all that you've done covering the Steelers and your time on the podcast. And I'm sure we can have you back from time to time to get some of your insight on that as well.
Dave, thanks for having me. You do a great job, because I told you, I'll be following you and keeping in close contact. So thanks for having me. And glad to get to know you and call you a friend. So stay in touch, my friend.
Same with you. And that's Scott Brown. You can follow him on Twitter @ScottBrown_Trib.